Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming on the Game Nashville app, coming at you from the Palatial Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. I'm Paul McCann, welcoming you to the pre-Christmas edition of Slapshot Radio. This is the last one that we have before Christmas. Preds are playing on the next two Monday nights. We're going to talk to the Athletics' Joe Yearden tonight, and the color analyst for the Buffalo Sabres, Rob Ray. It's all things Buffalo tonight as we get ready for the next week of Nashville Predators action. It's all tonight on Slapshot Radio, brought to you by day one sponsor Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from the Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate expert in Murfreesboro, and of course the latest additions to the Slapshot Radio family of advertisers, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and our friends at Lazy Boy Nashville, with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. Check out Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. I'm Paul McCann, our co-host. Well, on IR tonight, a former NHL coach and player, Brent Peterson. He's not able to make it tonight, but we wish him the best. And also the host of the Preds Watch Party, Zach McCann. Zach, just you and I tonight. We're going to be talking about an interesting week in Preds land and an interesting week to come.
An up and down week, to be sure, for the Preds. A tough loss in overtime on Tuesday, and then a very up and down wild game in Smashville on Saturday, snapping the losing streak on Saturday nights, much to the happiness of all Preds fans around the place, for sure.
Indeed.
And yeah, you know, a certain old friend came to town as well, and PK Subban.
Yeah, it was good to see PK.
Warmly received, a great tribute.
Yep. And, you know, it was an interesting game. I have to tell this. You can hear I'm a little hoarse tonight. And I've been kind of fighting off this cold that everyone seems to have in Nashville this week. And I have to tell this because it was really funny. We're getting ready for the game on Saturday night in our pregame meeting. And we're sitting here talking about everything. And I just flippantly said, you know, my voice, and let's see if my voice will hold out tonight. Watch these guys score six goals.
And final was 6-4.
So, yeah. So, you know what? I'm just sending out the message right now. My voice is not going to be in good shape tomorrow night. Okay? I'm just putting that out there right now, and let's see if it keeps that goal scoring,
you know,
stuff
that,
going.
That's okay, because I ran into a kid that I coach youth hockey for, and he said, "I heard Mr. Paul sounded rough, so I yelled extra loud to help him out."
Oh,
so
that was very nice of him. So anyway, we talk about last week, only two games last week, and certainly you know, some interesting play. You know, gosh, it feels like it was longer than a week ago with the Ryan Johansson inadvertent elbow that drew a, you know, it drew a $5,000 fine, a game misconduct, and a major.
I will say this, that if he doesn't get those things called in the game, he's looking at a suspension, no doubt in my mind.
You know what? I wonder. And the reason why I say that is that, you know, less than 20 minutes later, and this is one of my pet peeves, less than 20 minutes later, you know, Daniel Carr is engaged at the board, okay? He is engaged with another player and in a vulnerable position. He gets unloaded on.
Yep.
Clear contact to the head. Clear contact from the shoulder to the head. And the Department of Player Safety, do you know what they said about it?
Whoops.
Crickets. Nothing. And so that's why when you say that may have saved him a suspension, I don't know. Because if that wasn't a suspension, you know, if that one wasn't a suspension against Carr, why would it be a suspension against Johansson? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I think that was an overreaction. Look, letter of the law. It was a 5-minute major, maybe. I could have dealt with a 2 and a 10 on that if you wanted to call that. It's hard to call someone with their back to the play Not throwing the elbow just out there, intent to injure. I got a hard time with that one.
I mean, if you look at the play, he definitely throws his elbow back. Was it malicious? I don't think so.
Did he know somebody was coming? I don't know. Maybe he has eyes in the back of his head.
You are responsible for your body at all
times. I get it.
And he couldn't have called the 5-minute major without calling the 10-minute, without calling the game misconduct.
No, he could have called. He could have called a 10. He couldn't have called a game. You're right. Mm-hmm. But he could have called a 10. And it would have just as much impact.
Sure.
I think.
Now, I agree that the hit on Carr by Chernak, I believe, who was returning from a suspension that night, ironically.
Second game back from a suspension. For a high hit going into a vulnerable player. But that doesn't matter, obviously.
Could not agree more. I completely understand. And yes, but how long have we been looking for consistency and not finding it?
Yeah, good point.
It's a matter of what is seen. And the matter of fact was the Johansson hit looked really bad and it wasn't spotted.
And it was seen and it was reviewed. Mm-hmm. This was seen because a check to the head was called, but they didn't review it for the major. Yep. They didn't review it for the suspension. And that's the problem I have. If it's a speed play, if it's one of those things that, you know, you blink and you miss it, I can forgive those better.
Sure.
I can. But when you start talking about a play that is reviewable.
Well, it makes you wonder and kind of makes you think of, you know, the NFL right now with the pass interference challenge.
Oh, my Lord, really?
People don't want to change their calls on the ice, it seems like. Because we haven't seen a lot of these major reviews happen so far since that rule was changed in the offseason.
True.
In fact, this is the first instance I can think of for the Predators, at least, where I've seen it happen.
First one happened at Bridgestone Arena. Definitely go there. Absolutely.
And so you look at that and it does make you wonder because majors aren't called very often.
Right.
I don't think you're going to see very many of them rescinded.
Agreed.
And I don't think you're going to see many of those hits to the head upgraded, honestly. Yeah.
No, I do, but it just frustrated me and I needed to get that out.
Sure.
So we move on at least a point.
Yeah.
We'll take that. Move on to a weird, wacky, but entertaining hockey game.
Hey, anytime there's 10 goals in a game, you're going to have my attention.
Yeah, right.
Especially
mine
when
too.
You have 4 in the first 4 minutes of the game.
You know, it was interesting because, you know, on the previous show on Preds Insiders, they really went in depth on some of the things. You've seen some things. I think Ryan Lambert's column on Yahoo Sports today, you know, kind of called out some interesting things about this Nashville Predators teams in his 31 lines column. You know, it does need to be said, the Nashville goaltending right now is not up to snuff.
It's not good enough. And I don't think it's, you know, a crime to say such a thing because the numbers bear it out.
Yep.
This team is playing well defensively. Even the third pairing has looked better as of late. This team is there are two real
that
struggle
areas.
That
had to hurt coming out of your mouth.
It wasn't great. But if you look at this team and the way that they're playing right now, they are limiting chances. The only time these people are getting free, honestly, sometimes you just need your goaltender to make a save.
And you know what? And to be fair, what the numbers don't show, okay, is there have been
some boneheaded turnovers, of course.
No, I'm not even going to the turnovers. Mm-hmm. There have been the right save at the right time in a lot of cases.
Sure.
So that's what the numbers don't say, but you cannot ignore those numbers.
I think the best example I can think of is that first goal for New Jersey.
Right.
You know, left alone, I think it was Palmieri all alone in the slot.
Yep.
And that is a tough shot to save. You can't begrudge any goaltender for giving that up. But boy, if Pecorine makes that save, I think we're looking at a shutout for that entire game.
Quite possibly. And then you look at the second goal, which was ugly by any stretch of the imagination.
It's tough.
You know, so then you're 2-2 at the end of the first period. I mean, you know, the Preds are up 2-0 in the first 2 minutes. You know, and everybody's looking at this going, oh, walk in the park.
Yeah.
This team's lost 5 in a row. And give the New Jersey Devils credit. They turned around and said, you know what, nah, this isn't going to happen. And they utilized the momentum that they could get in order to try and get themselves back in that game, which they did in the first period. Now, again, Nashville came out strong in the second period. And honestly, yeah, I know it got to, you know, I know it got a little closer at 4-3, but the reality is that third goal, you saw New Jersey almost visibly collapse at
that point. Absolutely.
And then, you know, they tried to gather it back up, get it going again. But you just, you know, it's funny because you look at the collection of talent. I thought Jack Hughes was really solid on Saturday night.
Good player.
You know, I think he's going to be a really good player in this league. You look at, you know, but you look at some of the players that you expect. And, you know, say what you want, PK had a terrible game.
He looked awful, and I hate saying that. Yeah. I love PK Subban, you know.
But a minus three, and honestly, I was surprised it was only a minus three. He really did not. Something is not right with PK Subban.
No, he looks awful.
I mean, I don't know if that back problem is still following him. I don't know. But something is not right with PK Subban.
Not only that, Wayne Simmons was invisible out there.
That one doesn't surprise me. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I think we saw that last year in Nashville when he came here at the trade deadline. I was really excited to watch him park his butt in front of the in the slot,
just clean up
and clean up the garbage. It just didn't happen last year. So I mean, you hate to say it, but I think we've probably seen the best days of Wayne Simmons, and it wouldn't surprise me if this is the last season for him, because he's just struggling right now, and you could see it on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. All right, we're up against a break right now on Slapshot Radio. We've got a really good show ahead of you. Joe Yearden from The Athletic, Rob Ray from the Buffalo Sabres joining us tonight. And hey, they've been with us since day one of the show. The premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio is Drs. Jane Bacon and Aileen Kruger over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Boy, what a great staff, a comfortable environment. They make it a lot easier to get all your dental needs taken care of. And if it wasn't enough, all the latest in dental technology, including in-office whitening, sedation, dentistry, you name it, they have it. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com or call her for an appointment at 872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We Brighten Smiles.
Throw your hands in the air right now, man.
Oh, man.
Feel this right here. Scott Storch.
Kenny, nice call. I like it.
You know, I've often said we don't have enough Rockaway here on the Slapshot Radio. So
Slapshot Radio at ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're just jamming, that's all. Okay, big week in Pred Nation tomorrow night. In Smashville, it is the San Jose Sharks coming to town. Going to be a good one tomorrow night. And then Saturday night in Smashville, it's a Saturday night in Smashville, and the Predators will be looking to put together their second Saturday night win in a row when the Dallas Stars come to town. That's going to be a good one as well. Remember, guys, it's a 5:30 puck drop on Saturday night, 5:30 puck drop in Smashville. But in between there is a visit up to Western New York. A visit that I know this gentleman knows a lot about, covering the Buffalo Sabres and other things for The Athletic. Good friend of the show. Glad to have him back on. Joe Yearden. Joe, how are you today?
Doing great, Paul. It's good to talk with you again.
Good to talk with you as well. I've been reading your stuff on The Athletic, as most all informed sports fans do. And, Joe, first off, I mean, it's great to see, you know, regular stuff from you. I know you've been around to different websites and stuff like that. How's it going with The Athletic? How do you like it? And talk a little bit about your role with them.
Yeah, it's I got some well-worn boots from making my way around the internet writing on hockey. It's nice to be at a place that's allowed me to kind of put some put my feet down here in Buffalo for a bit and really kind of dig in on the Sabres and let me do some really in-depth sort of stuff and getting to do some fun reporting too. It's a nice change, you know, going from the old NBC, from my own blog to NBC to NHL.com to here. It's nice to kind of settle into a nice little gig, you know, the nice little website that's going on right now.
Yeah, that keeps growing and growing and growing. That's for sure, Joe. One of the things that I'm impressed with is first off, Buffalo is just a phenomenal town. It really is. And to see the renaissance, I mean, I know probably still hurting a little bit from yesterday, but seeing the renaissance of the Buffalo Bills and now seeing the Sabres looking so much better. I mean, talk about a deserving sports town. Buffalo certainly deserves to have a couple of successful teams going right now.
Well, it's been a while since both teams have had it going on at the same time. I mean, it's been a while for the Sabres to be in the playoffs, you know, yep. Going back to 2011. And, you know, the Bills, I mean, they made the playoffs a couple seasons ago, but it was 17 years before that when they were losing in Tennessee in 1999, 2000.
That's right. Mm-hmm. First season of the Titans here, yeah.
Yeah, the home run throwback, yep. Which has a different name here, but it's a good thing to see because it Buffalo fans can be a bit on the pessimistic side, and you have to kind of feel for them in that way. But you know, the Sabres are winning some games. The Bills are a win away from making the postseason, so things are on the upside. But you know, it's. You know, everybody always is waiting for the floor to open up and everything to fall apart. But it's, you know, enjoy the ride. That's what it's about.
Absolutely. We're on the line on Slapshot Radio with Joe Yerden from The Athletic. Zach?
Now, Joe, one of the things that fascinates me about Buffalo, especially as a hockey market, is routinely, whether the Sabres are in it, out of it, or whatever, Buffalo usually ranks near the top, if not the top, of television ratings for hockey. What is it about the game that seems to have just had the town completely entranced by it?
Well, I tell you what, it's such a massive sports town. I mean, you look at ratings for every sport, every event. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. Buffalo is going to be in there at the top because the fans here are just absolutely rabid for sports. Certainly, you know, the NHL, I mean, every time there's ratings, you know, the cities come up and it's, you know, you're expecting to see the big cities really carry the way, but it's Buffalo who comes up with the monster ratings, and it's people here just love sports. I mean, it's, you know, it helps when it's, you know, if it's the Bills that are doing well or the Sabres that are doing well, but if those teams aren't involved in the game, it doesn't matter. They're going to throw the game on. They stay pretty well informed. And that to me is what really kind of blows me away. And it helps make things, you know, if the local teams are kind of dragging their heels on getting things done, it's not, you know, and the fans get mad. Fans get mad everywhere. The fans get mad here because they know what everybody else is doing and they keep up on everything about what's going on. And I think that feeds into, there's a bit of a pressure, I don't want to say a pressure cooker, because it's not like it's, you know, it's not like it's not Toronto in the NHL or,
right.
You know, New York City and every other sport, but it's the kind of thing where, you know, there's pressure to succeed because, you know, neither team's had a championship team, you know, at the major level. So they, you know, they want one. They want a title here bad. They want a Super Bowl. They want a Stanley Cup. And, you know, the longer it takes to get there, you know, and if there's promises of getting there at some point, you gotta back those promises up. And I think that's what makes this a fascinating place for both of these teams here, because it's the kind of thing where it's just the pressure just kind of drives it. And, you know, the fans are going to stick with it, but the fans are savvy because they know what they can see other teams doing well and they want that too.
So I got to ask you about this, Joe. When the Preds come to town on Thursday, I do know that quite a few of the folks that have Buffalo origins with the Predators organization, obviously Pete Weber and Jerry Helper and guys like that, are going to go up, and it's kind of the Buffalo twist on 80s night, and they're calling it Odd Night. Tell us about what that's about.
Yeah, they're going to be doing a T-shirt giveaway at the game, and I have a funny feeling that our morning skate or morning availability pictures, we're going to be able to get some pictures inside the arena that's going to show T-shirts laid out inside, that it's going to mimic how the seat colorization was at the Odd. That's just a guess on my part, but if anybody was ever in Buffalo when the Odd was around, the seats were basically, you knew what section you were sitting in based on the seat color. And I think we're going to see it kind of laid out that way. There's going to be there's going to be a lot of throwback stuff going on. There's going to be players from the 80s that are going to be popping in. I mean, they've been doing stuff all season long because it's the 50th anniversary of Buffalo getting an NHL team. But You know, there's going to be things like that happening. You know, Pete Weber, every time he comes to town, he's the mayor. Yes. You know, he's the mayor all over again because everybody here knows Pete. Everybody loves Pete. And it's that, it's just that kind of thing here. I mean, Pete shows up and suddenly everybody's feeling a lot happier. You know, there's a lot more laughter going on around here. And,
well,
and the old
true.
Stories about when he was here, you know, I never get tired of hearing about him. And that's, it's just perfect that the Preds are here for that night, because I think you know, with Pete back in town, that's going to help make it a little bit more fun.
Well, and of course, some of the other 80s stars of the Buffalo Sabres, Dave Andrechuk's going to be there. You know, Phil Meyer, Larry Playfair, Darren Pupa.
But will one Dave, of my favorite players of all time for the Sabres, Miroslav Shatan, be there?
Satan? No, he was 90s.
I suppose.
But and another name that we're very familiar with, our co-host, who's unfortunately under the weather tonight, Brent Peterson is a former Buffalo Sabre as well. And the name that really sticks out with me as a recovering Flyer fan, Dave Schultz. I forgot that he played for the Sabres.
Dave the Hammer Schultz. I mean, when you think about Sabres tough guys, I think you start out with, well, I think Rob Ray is probably the first guy that comes to mind.
Yeah, he's our next guest. That's one of the reasons why we got him on.
good segue there for Rob when he comes on. But
very good.
You think of Rob first. You got Jerry Korab in the 70s. You know, Matthew Barnaby. Just all these characters that, you know, we're just so physical and tough, and everybody kind of forgets that, you know, Dave Schultz had a little bit of a shine in Buffalo too.
I mean, oh yeah, he did.
It's not like those days in the 70s with the Flyers.
Well,
it's, you know,
that's true.
It's weird. The game was so different back then, where, you know, those guys were all like rock stars, whether they'll tell you they felt that way or not.
It's true.
But you know, when they dropped the gloves, man, I mean, the place lit up. I mean, I think of like Red Wings days when, you know, Bob Probert was getting standing ovations, and Steve Eisenman was just kind of like, "All right, buddy, go get him."
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just that I don't know, it was just so different then. And Dave Schultz, man, like, but it was like one of those things. I was like, wait, Dave Schultz played for the Sabres, and back and, you know, look up the Hockey DB and
yep.
Oh, yeah, he certainly did. And, yeah, that's cool. I mean, bring some more flavor. Bring some more color to the night, because guys like that, man, I mean, that's about as 80s. I mean, 70s were rough and tumble, but the 80s had a lot of guys who could really lay it down.
Oh, that's for sure. Joe, we are up against a break. I just have one final question for you real quick. How are they going to bring the fog into the new arena?
Well, it was like 45 degrees today, so maybe we'll get a sneaky heat wave and help make that happen. Maybe shut down the air conditioner for a day and get the fog going. Just for old time's sake, really make it like the odd. I think that would be they could make that happen. Well, it probably wouldn't be great for the ice, but it sure would look cool.
That would be hysterical, actually, you know, kind of reenact the 75 Cup final. But, unfortunately, it didn't end well. That's the only problem, that you don't really want to bring it up in Buffalo right now. I learned that lesson the hard way during a visit there. Anyway, Joe, we are up against a break. Thanks so much for joining us. Hey, we'll make sure it's not so long next time, okay?
Hey, you got it, Paul. Absolutely. Anytime.
All righty. You can read him on The Athletic. He's Joe Yearden. He does some great work for them. And we will be right back with the guy Mr. Yearden just referenced, Rob Ray from the Buffalo Sabres color analyst team, coming up right here on Slapshot Radio.
Hey!
Oh, my. Big payback. Gone old school. Kenny on the Wheels of Steel on Slapshot Radio.
I also feel like we don't have enough James Brown. So
that's true.
Great.
This is good stuff.
Somewhere my grandfather is very happy right now.
ESPN 102.5, The Game. So, you know what? This our next guest was set up by our previous guest.
Yep.
I mean, you know, we talked a little bit about what's going to happen on Thursday night in Buffalo. They're going to be celebrating the original home of the Sabres, the Odd, and a gentleman that played there, a gentleman that caused quite a bit of mayhem there. and actually caused some mayhem on the ice too. A member of the Buffalo Sabres broadcast crew, color analyst Rob Ray. Rob, thanks so much for joining us tonight on Slapshot Radio.
Problem, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Rob, you got set up. We had Joe Yerden on. We were talking a little bit about the event coming up on Thursday night when the Preds come to town as they celebrate the odd. And they were talking about the tough guys that patrolled the odd, and your name came up. I wonder why that was.
Well, I really don't know. I think people are easily pleased around here sometimes. No. Nah, you know what? It was such a wonderful place to play, and to play the game that I had to play at the time, or even the way the game was then, it was an electrifying place. And when you got things riled up and going in there, there was no place better to be sometimes.
So, Rob, we'll turn our attention to this Buffalo Sabres team. They are, you know, probably ahead of where a lot of pundits put it. However, I believe in our preview show, I did say to watch out for the Buffalo Sabres. This is a team that is now getting coaches fired. I mean, that 7-1 pasting that they put on the Devils last Monday night spelled the end of the coaching services of John Hines for the New Jersey Devils, and they had to make a change. What's the difference in this Buffalo team this year?
Well, I think they're a really confident group. Ralf Krueger's done a fabulous job with these guys, kind of just changing the mindset of them. You know, we always knew the talent was in there, but it just wouldn't come together. And I think that Ralf's done a really good job of, you know, inserting a ton of positivity in the room and kind of building guys up. He's got a way of, it's not so much the X's and O's all the time of teaching the guys what's going to happen and what they need to do. It's more how they handle situations. He talks a lot of preparing guys for bad situations before they happen, and then when they do happen, then, you know, they work their way through them a little quicker. But he's got a philosophy on the game that even somebody that's been around for a while as myself, sometimes he says things and you're like, what? And then when you have that chance to sit and talk to him and he can further explain it, it's like, he's got a good point. I never even thought of it that way. So He's a deep-thinking man that has really found a way to motivate these guys and get in their heads to say that what he's doing is working, and they're bought on it. They love the guy, and he's done good things for them.
We are on the line with Rob Ray of the Buffalo Sabres broadcast crew on Slapshot Radio. Zach?
You know, Rob, it's funny you bring up Ralf Krueger, because he's a guy who I feel like, you know, didn't really get a fair shake in Edmonton and then did a wonderful job with Team Europe in the World Cup of Hockey quite a few years ago. And so it's great to see him be doing well right now with this Buffalo Sabres team. But talk a little bit about kind of the final explosion we've seen of Jack Eichel lately, who has just been lighting the league on fire quietly, it feels like.
Well, he has. You're watching Jack right now take that step to be that, you know, top-notch, you know, superstar player that, you know, when he was drafted that everybody thought he could be. And I think it took a little while, but it took a little while for Jack to maybe mature a little bit, understand the game, understand what the whole role of being in the NHL and being a captain is. And I had a good talk with him the other day, and he was like, look, and he said in the past, he said, when I came here, he says, I had the feeling that I was expected to have to carry the load here, and I was going to be the guy to take the team to the next level, and then I was made captain, and he said I was having to worry about a lot of things that I couldn't control. And when I finally realized that, hey, it's not just me that's going to take this team to the next level, and there's so many things that go on that I cannot control, once I put all that behind me and just sort of contemplated on playing the game and maturing as a player, he said, you know, it's come together for him. He's got guys that he can play with now, too. Sam Reinhart's the same situation. He's getting older. He's been around for a while. But they're kind of two guys that are they're buddies. They're together an awful lot, and they're kind of growing together, but maturing together, as I said, too, and the help with Victor Olsen on that side has definitely inserted a ton of confidence in him early, because the kid's been on fire, and you know, I think they're just feeding off that. But Jack, you just see him dominant now. He's brought a physical side to his game, too. You know, before he kind of shied away from, you know, going in and trying to bump guys off pucks and fighting for pucks down. he's in there now, and he's coming out with the pucks because he's so strong. This guy on his skates, he's so sturdy. You don't knock him over, but he's so powerful that I watched the other day, Jake Muzzin against Toronto, the two of them go back in the corner. Before they get to the corner, Jack just throws Muzzin to the side, picks up the puck, wheels his way out to the front of the net and scores. And, you know, he's learning to use what he has, and it's very talented. So you put that all together with him getting in a little confidence, then he's a totally different player.
You know, you mentioned Victor Olofsson and the two players that I've kind of seen in a couple of the games that I've watched that have really stood out to me is kind of the maturation that is going on with Rasmus Dahlin and with Casey Mittelstadt. These are two players that seem to be starting to come into their own.
Well, Dahlin's been out for a while now because of, you know, concussion he got in Tampa. But, you know, we just got back from the Western trip here, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, just got back late last night. So I would expect to see Dahlin back, hopefully skating this week. Then, you know, he might be able to get in by the end of the week. He was in concussion there, so he had to sit the week.
Right.
But he's been very, very good. But teams are understanding that now, and they're concentrating on this kid a little more, and they're being a lot more physical on him. They're coming at him, putting him under pressure. But the way he solves pressure is very, very good. You look at him and you think he's just a child, but in his head, you know, he's always that two or three steps ahead of them out there on the ice. But he's really come a long ways. And Casey Mittelstadt is a kid that, you know, he's slowly coming and he's slowly getting there. But I think he's one of those guys that beats himself up so much mentally because he's not putting big numbers up. And he's not, the player that he was coming up through his childhood and coming through junior and that. So he's one that you can see nights when he is electrifying, and then there's nights when you can just see him talking to himself because he is putting that much pressure on. But he can be a heck of a player. And you know, and my advice to him, just kind of relax, play the game a little bit, and not worry so much.
You know, it is funny when you see some of these younger players stop having fun, you know, and I mean, you know, keeping in mind that, yes, it's serious business and all that kind of good stuff, but ultimately it is a game. And if you're not having fun out there, I mean, it's a shame, but when you see something like that, and hopefully he takes that advice, maybe not until after Thursday night, please, Rob. But one other thing I do want to bring up, we are up against a break, but you've got one of the nicest and best guys in all of hockey in Carter Hutton. Talk a little bit about Carter and how he's doing up there in Buffalo.
I'll tell you what, when Carter came in here, it was a godsend because we had very little leadership. And when he came in, he just took that over and he just took it and ran with it. And he was a guy that, you know, you're expecting him to play each night and he would be, you know, at stoppage of plays, at timeouts, you know, coming over to the bench and not so worrying about keeping himself prepared when he needs to. He's working with guys on the bench, and, you know, you hear him in the dressing room between periods. He carried a large portion of the leadership role for this hockey team and did an excellent job for it. Guys love this guy, and he's one of the last little bit of old-school player that's in that dressing room right now. And, you know, sometimes the guys look at him and they just laugh at him because of things he uses or ways he uses to get the guys going or things he says. But, you know, that's just the way it was then. But he really has done a great job, not only on the ice, but off the ice is probably his bigger attribute so far here. But on the ice, yeah, he's had some games this year where the guys have kind of left him hanging out to dry. But, you know, he's a battle through, and he doesn't complain. He just keeps rolling, and he does his thing. But I'll tell you what, he is probably still, you know, even Jack is the captain of the hockey team and that he is still that guy that's got the pulse on the room and, you know, carries a big weight in what is said in that room and what is done. And, you know, I think everybody that has had a chance to meet Carter appreciates what he's been doing.
Rob, we certainly appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy 80s night, odd night on Thursday night. And I know a couple of folks here, like Pete Weber, can't wait to get back there and say hi and enjoy the atmosphere in Buffalo.
Well, well, well. Weber was probably around here in 80s and 90s. He was probably here in 50s and 60s.
I will make sure that I tell him you said that.
You do that.
All right. So, Rob, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great evening. We appreciate it. Take care.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
All right. Rob Ray on the Buffalo Sabres broadcast crew. We certainly appreciate him joining us tonight. Hey, let me tell you about Carter Church from our friends at Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group. Carter, you know, I've gotten to know him as we've worked together with the Preds. And, you know, Carter is a Navy vet. He's got some really deep marketing experience. And frankly, he's got the marketing experience that you need to get your home sold fast in this fast-paced market. Call Carter today at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church is your real estate professional if you're buying or if you're selling. 615-429-2044. Carter Church from Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group. Everybody.
You see
three
the hands.
For three, Kenny. Oh, he's got the lighter out. Wow.
You can see the hands out the windows on Murfreesboro Road. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Producer Kenny, he is on his game. I'm telling you right now, he is on his game.
No days off. That's
no,
right.
Not
That's
at
what
all.
They call him.
Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is our last show before Christmas. Next week, the Preds are playing Monday night. The week after that, the Preds are playing Monday night. So the next time we come back is December 30th with our Winter Classic preview show. And, you know, I don't know if you saw on social media today, Zach, you just mentioned it in the break, that it is looking like right now that the NHL is just completely blown away by the ticket sales for the Winter Classic.
That's right. They're saying 83,000-plus tickets sold, on track to be the second biggest crowd in NHL outdoor game history behind the Big House in 2014 between the Maple Leafs and the Red Wings.
That's right. But, you know, Dallas, Nashville, they're not hockey markets.
No, not at all.
So, but we will definitely be getting into the Winter Classic. Dallas coming in this Saturday night, and interesting news that came out of Dallas. This is a team that has been just ridiculously hot, but a healthy scratch in the last two games, Alexander Radulov.
And I don't think they've played in Glendale in a while, so I think, have they? I don't know.
they could have. They could have been in Glendale. You never know. But interesting. So I don't know. A little drama maybe building in Dallas. Who knows? But they've certainly been hotter than a $2 pistol. But you've got, you know, we've talked a lot about Buffalo. I think the one we really need to talk about is tomorrow night in Smashville, the San Jose Sharks in town. And this Sharks team, try and figure them out.
You let me know when you do, because I haven't. They're Jekyll and Hyde.
They start off, you know, in the toilet. I mean, they finally get their collective stuff together, go on a run in November that was just stunning.
Which, how many, like, 10-plus game point streaks have we had in the NHL this year?
There seems to be a lot of them.
Minnesota, Buffalo, San Jose, I can name off the top of my head. I think Edmonton was on one of those rallies, too. It's been ridiculous this year.
But when you look at, I mean, especially the last four games, 5-2 loss to Washington, 3-2 loss in a shootout to Carolina. No shame there.
No.
7-1 against Tampa. They did the Tampa, Florida thing. 7-1 against Tampa. 5-1 against Florida. I mean, good Lord, they're outscored 12-2 to the Florida teams. They come into Nashville riding a 5-game losing streak. This is a team that, you know, I mean, you just can't figure them out right now.
And this is also a pretty big trap game for the Nashville Predators, because this year they have been the team to get well against.
Yeah, but, you know, if that was the case, Jersey could have done that.
Sure.
And, so, I mean, because they rolled in on a 6-game.
And that was positive to see them continue a losing streak. But how many times this year have we seen a team come in and get better against this Nashville team? This is an absolutely critical game, especially when you are playing a team that you are chasing for a wild card spot.
Oh, not only that.
Make no mistake, they are chasing these teams.
No question about that. And look, you know, I've been the one, stay away from the panic button, stay away from the panic button.
Sure.
You know, I mean, look, is this team playing up to their potential? Absolutely not. Is there improvement that needs to happen in several areas of the game? Absolutely. But I'm not going to sit here. I mean, look, being at the bottom of the Central Division was shocking. You know, they're out of the bottom right now. They're only a couple points out of the wild card right now.
And they have games in hand, sure.
Plenty, you know, at least two games in hand on almost every team they're chasing. Some as many as four. So, and it certainly didn't help having those 3 days off last week.
Sure.
You're going to see some catch up happening over the next few days. You've got San Jose tomorrow night. You've got Buffalo on Thursday, Dallas on Saturday. Then you've got the back to back New York Monday, Tuesday, a 4-game road trip. I think it's probably going to be a good thing for this team.
Yeah, it's a little concerning that after a very home-heavy start to the season, the Predators find themselves where they are, because the next 2 months, the rest of December and a lot of January, are played away from the friendly confines of Bridgestone Arena. So if this team can really develop some chemistry on the road, kind of get away from the distractions of everyday life and home life with that, and just focus on hockey, I do think they're going to be fine in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it coming up, I mean, you've got, you know, again, Rangers and Islanders, Monday, Tuesday next week. Then into Ottawa, who is playing better hockey recently. They are not near the dumpster fire that everyone expected or that they showed at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And then you finish off this road trip with one of the best teams in the National Hockey League right now through the first half of the season, and that's the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's a team that's playing. So this is a light travel one. Once you get to New York, you're not traveling all that much. I mean, quick trip up to Ottawa, quick trip over to Boston and home. But then you're home for the holidays. You've got Arizona on the Monday before Christmas, the 3-day Christmas break. Then you finish 2019. You finish the year with a back-to-back home and home with the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's an odd scheduling quirk.
At the same time, I kind of like it, because that way, you know, both teams played the night before. Both teams have their home and their away game, so you're not exactly catching one an off night or something like that.
Exactly. So it's going to be an interesting next 2 weeks of hockey before we talk to you again. It's the next almost 3 weeks of hockey before we talk to you again. So when you look at this whole game, I mean, I'm really looking forward to the Buffalo game on Thursday night, as you could tell by our guest list tonight. You know, you look at that, and I'm looking forward to see how this team matches up against the Dallas Stars. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one doing that, which, of course, terrifies me for tomorrow night.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I think the Predators would not be wise to look past the San Jose Sharks, and I don't think they will, because this is a team that usually gets pretty chippy against them. I think, you know, the goaltending is certainly suspect in San Jose. Martin Jones, you never know what you're going to get. Same with Aaron Dell.
Right. Yeah.
Buffalo is certainly a good team. And Dallas, if you don't have a chip on your shoulder after the series last year, then I don't
check
know what
your
you
pulse.
Would.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is where I look at things and go, you know, again, when these goaltenders have been challenged in Nashville, the perfect example would be just, you know, Rene stealing the game in Carolina after sitting out for three. I know, even though Rene settled down after a shaky first period, settled down nicely, and quite frankly frustrated the New Jersey Devils that night. So that was good. And again, it's one of those things you look at. You just look at how quiet. If he's nice and quiet in between the pipe, if he's nice and quiet, you know, definitive movements, snapping the glove, all the things that we talked about. We didn't see that in the first quarter, in the first period on, you
no,
know,
not at all.
On Saturday night. You did see it in the second and third.
I will say this. What games do you give to Saros this week?
Ooh, that's a good question. Obviously, he's going to get a New York game, mm-hmm. obviously.
I'd give him Buffalo.
I don't disagree with that. I do not disagree with that one at all. Give him Buffalo. You come back with Rene against Dallas. You give him either the Rangers or the Islanders, and the Islanders are no pushover this year.
Not at all.
You know,
best teams in the league.
You know, you give him one of those two, and perhaps, you know, maybe you give him the Rangers, and you give him Ottawa. You know, give him a couple over the next couple of games. Mm-hmm. You know a Christmas break is coming, a couple of days off. May not be a good idea to get him some work.
Yeah.
So, well, I tell you what, we've managed to solve a lot of the world's hockey problems in just an hour here.
We've done our best.
But we certainly have. So, we're back. 3 weeks from tonight on December 30th for our Winter Classic preview. So please make sure you join us for that. You know, we want to thank our sponsors. We certainly appreciate you joining us. So please, thank you for joining us on Slapshot Radio. We're off the next 2 weeks and back in our Winter Classic preview on December 30th at 7 p.m. A big thank you to our guest Joe Yearden from The Athletic and Rob Ray from the Buffalo broadcast crew. Thanks to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from Weikart Realtors, The Andrews Group, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs, and Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations. Now, when you visit one of our sponsors, make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, Kenny, our co-host, Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.